I've told you this before. It's not news. I'm a people watcher. I watch people at Walmart. I watch people at the mall. They fascinate me. We are, for lack of any other way to say it, we are interesting critters. I watch the weird piercings that we have, the weird hair color, the ridiculous clothing, the antics. It's entertaining, to say the least. As such, as I notice people, I am also a t-shirt reader. Now, maybe because my t-shirt collection is very limited. It either says OU, Clements, or Mount Carmel. That's it. T-shirt reading, however, is not necessarily a safe hobby anymore. Some are really funny. Some are disgusting. Some make you go, huh? Did you really wear that in public? Kind of thing. As such, I was fascinated by a story that recently came out. Came out of Fort Morgan, Colorado. The lady's name is Jessica Roca. She was frustrated with the behavior of her 8-year-old daughter and her 9-year-old son. The little girl was stealing. The little boy was a bully at school. She had tried grounding them. She had tried taking away their sports, their toys, their privileges. Nothing worked. So as this ongoing battle rages, she decides to make a t-shirt for each one of them. The shirts described their actions. Here is the front of her daughter's shirt that she wore to school. I steal. Steal means taking property belonging to someone else without permission. The back of the shirt read, I steal. Please watch me. Of course, the school did not approve. The school made her cover it up. Jessica said the shirt worked. She said her daughter wore the shirt to school one day. And she quit stealing. Some disagree with this form of discipline. I'm not getting into that, especially child psychologists. But the thought's interesting. What if? What if we had to wear shirts or signs identifying our sins? What if everybody had to? What if it was a God thing? That we all had to have on a shirt. We all had to have a sign. We all had to have a marquee. We all had to have flashing lights that identified our sins. Would you hold your children closer at Walmart if someone walking by wore a shirt that said pedophile? Or kidnapper? Sure, absolutely. We would certainly become cautious around those wearing shirts identifying them as murderers or thieves. We would be skeptical when talking with those identified as liars or manipulators or cheaters. But now go back and think about how I worded that question. What if everyone had to wear shirts or signs or had a marquee identifying their sins? I'm sure others would be equally uncomfortable around us. See, we're not exempt. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 says, what? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We would all have something embarrassing on our shirts. We would all have a fault or a sin out there for the world to see. So the first question, what would your shirt say? Would it make you feel guilty? Ashamed? Would you try to cover it up? What if your shirt said liar? Liar, one who does not or cannot tell the truth. And you had to announce it every time you walked up to somebody. What's about to come out of my mouth is not going to be true. What if your shirt said, thief, I take things that do not belong to me? What about murderer? And that murderer can extend what Jesus says, what? If I have hatred in my heart for my brother, I'm a murderer, because that's the action that results from that attitude. What if I had to announce as a teenager or an unmarried young adult that I'm sexually active? Everywhere I went. Or that I'm a cheater. You walk into class and the teacher has to acknowledge the shirt that says, hey, by the way, I'm about to cheat on this test. What if you had to wear a shirt that said, hey, I'm a drunk? You've never seen it, but I can't control it. Or I'm a drug addict. What if your shirt had to announce that you're a manipulator? So that people knew when they get into a conversation with you that you're going to twist and turn and mold things for your benefit and your benefit only. Or that you're disrespectful. Or that you're a child abuser. In whatever way, physically, sexually, emotionally, verbally. What if you had to announce that you're a spouse abuser? What if you had to admit that you carry hatred around in your heart? Or that you're a racist? What if you had to announce, hey, I'm a wife stealer? Or I'm a husband stealer? Would we stop and would people stop and have conversations with us standing next to their spouse? And here's another thing. Since our society has forgotten how to blush, a very old thing back to the Old Testament, what if it was not something that others considered cringeworthy, but our conscience told us different? What if an educated conscience said that, yeah, it's still wrong regardless what the world thinks? So, I mean, our world's not going to blush. Our world wears shirts that says, don't laugh at my pink shirt, your girlfriend left it at my house. Or say, pride. Our world can't blush. So what if your shirt had to say, I'm vulgar? Everything that comes out of my mouth is going to be foul. Or I'm a hothead. What if I had to announce in advance that whatever you say is going to make me explode? Or that I'm a gossip. Everything you say can and will be repeated. Those things don't make our world cringe, but they make God cringe. If everyone could read our shameful past on our shirts, would it not be a powerful motivator to prove that we've changed? Would it not be a powerful motivator to strive to change the message, to live down the reputation? It's probably a good thing. You know, we'd never get the benefit of the doubt. We're kind of suspicious people as it is. And so if everything I had ever done was laid out for the world to see, probably wouldn't work out so well. And so it's probably a good thing every detail is not spelled out. Because, you know, we make mistakes we never repeat again. We do stupid things in our immaturity and we grow out of them. Let's deal with this first, though. The thing is, you know, I don't have to wear my sins on my sleeve. I don't have to announce it on my chest. I don't have a marquee. They're no less a reality. Hebrews 4 and verse 13, everything is revealed before the eyes of God. All right, God knows. All right. I can get by in this world sometimes with the masquerade. I can get by not announcing it, but God knows. Now let's deal with this. God has never hesitated to call us on it. You know, he called David on it, didn't he? You're the man. You're the one, David. So I want you to think, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We're going to look at two passages where God calls it like it is. Or he lays it out there for the world to see. And then in a few minutes, we're going to come back to those passages and look at the rest of the story. That's the thought this morning. But 1 Corinthians chapter 6, starting in verse 8. On the contrary, you yourselves wrong and defraud, and that's your brethren. Do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor the effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers shall inherit the kingdom of God. Those in Corinth, when Paul met them, when Paul began preaching the gospel in Corinth, those in Corinth were wearing shirts that read, "I wrong my fellow Christians. I defraud my brethren. I'm not out to get the world. I'm out to get those that I supposedly love. I'm out there doing bad things to the people that are part of the body of Christ with me." They were wearing shirts that says, "I'm a fornicator. I violate God's sexual laws." They're wearing shirts that say, "I'm an idolater. I bow to money, or I bow to another god, or I bow to a hobby, or I bow to an addiction." They were wearing shirts that said, "I'm an adulterer." To the point that Paul says, "What? There's things happening among you that don't even happen in the Gentile world. When a man has his father's wife, I'm an adulterer and I have an incestuous relationship with my stepmother." You want to wear that one? Somebody in Corinth wearing it. "I'm a passive homosexual. I'm the feminine partner in a homosexual relationship. I'm effeminate. Or I'm the dominant homosexual in the relationship." Some of them are wearing shirts that announce, "I'm a thief. I covet the blessings of others. I'm covetous. I'm a drunkard. I'm a reviler. I'm verbally abusive. I'm a swindler." Interesting to be a t-shirt reader in Corinth. Some in Ephesus, flip over to Ephesus chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Some in Ephesus are wearing shirts that said, "I'm dead in my sins, in my trespasses. I may look like I'm alive, but spiritually inside I'm dead." They're wearing shirts that said, "Following Satan. Following the prince of this world." Wearing shirts that say disobedient. Again, our world doesn't think that's all that cringeworthy. They're wearing shirts that says lustful. They're wearing shirts that says, "I'm indulging the desires of my flesh and my mind. And I'm a child of wrath." They're wearing shirts, figuratively, that announce, "By my actions, unless I change, God has already judged me as a child of wrath." God doesn't miss a thing. And God doesn't hesitate to put it out there. And so again, God knows. And it may not be on a marquee, but God's asking you this morning, what does your shirt say? Here's the key. Here's the point. Here's where I'm going this morning. And it's actually good news. God offers us a chance to put those shirts that say all of those things and more on them in the spiritual washing machine at Calvary. Acts 22 and verse 16, as Paul, blinded, finally makes his way into Damascus, burdened with his sin, burdened with his guilt, Ananias says, "Why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins." Saul, have your shirt washed. Take off violent aggressor. Take off persecutor. Take off one who is willfully disobeying the will of God. Side note, if Saul was saved on the road to Damascus, why is he still carrying his sins? Why did he still need to be washed? But the spiritual wife, Paul, what's he say about himself in Timothy's letter? I'm the chief of all sinners. And so if God can wash Saul of Tarsus, if God can put his shirt in the washing machine so that his t-shirt no longer says those things, what does that say about us? Revelation 7 and verse 14, who are those? Those are the ones who have had their robes washed white in the blood of the Lamb. The spiritual washing machine of God that changes what my shirt says. So I want you to go back to 1 Corinthians 6. I said we're going to read the rest of it. Make a couple of observations. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we started at verse 8. And we saw those people at Ephesus that were wronging each other, that were defrauding each other, that were the fornicators and the idolaters and the adulterers. Now verse 11. Such were some of you. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of our God. Notice the terminology. Notice the beauty. Notice the change of shirts. You were. You don't have to wear that shirt anymore. You don't have to wear that shirt that identifies you as a thief or covetous or a homosexual. Why not? Because you were washed. I washed it off your shirt and I replaced it. You've now been sanctified. Those in Corinth are now wearing shirts that says set apart or holy or justified. What a beautiful word, justified, as if I never did it. I had to wear the shirt, absolutely. But God took it and did away with it as if it was never there. The rest of Ephesians chapter 2. We reference verse 1, you were dead in your trespasses and sins. Now notice too, in which you formerly walked. And then that's where we get reference to the course of this world, prince of the power of the air. Verse 3, among them we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh. Such were you, verse 1. It was a former way of life, verse 2. It was a former way of life, verse 3. The point is this morning. My shirt says washed. My shirt has no reference to my past at all. My shirt says forgiven, Acts 2 and verse 38. Do you remember what Peter had said to them a little bit earlier in that message? You crucified him. You turned him over to the hands of lawless men. You followed through with the plan. You're guilty, you're guilty, you're guilty. What can we do about it? Verse 38, you can be forgiven. My shirt says washed. My shirt says forgiven. My shirt says saved. 1 Peter 3 and verse 21. Baptism does now save you. Not the washing away of the filth of the flesh. It's not that God's giving me an external bath, but it's my appeal to God for a clear conscience. As I walk in the light, I am continually washed of all my sins. Every day, He puts me in the washing machine. Every second, every stumble, as long as I am penitent, as long as I am confessing, He's washing. 1 John chapter 1. Now then, John makes the point, listen very carefully. John makes the point that we cannot deny the fact that we stumble, that we sin, that we make mistakes, that there are at times those temporary things written across our shirts. But He says something else around that. If we walk in the light, verse 7, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of his son cleanses us from all sin. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, now then verse 8, he said, don't deceive yourself. Verse 10, don't deceive yourself. But verse 9, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. My sins have been removed from me as far as the east is from the west. Did I do things in my past that condemned me, that needed to be put on my shirt? Absolutely. 1 John chapter 1, do I still fail? Without a doubt. Am I perfect? Yes. In the blood of Christ. My shirt says stamped with the blood of Christ. And that God no longer sees me, but he sees the blood of Christ. He sees the blood of the Lamb. He sees washed, redeemed, justified, sanctified. So the question is, what does your shirt say? Go into your spiritual wardrobe right now and take inventory of what your shirt says. What were your actions this past week? Maybe the willful sin, like we see in Hebrews chapter 10, that there's no sacrifice for unless we come back to Christ. You see, that one can't be forgiven continually until I make it right. Or maybe you've never been to the cross. So let's start with that one. If your shirt does not say washed, if your shirt does not say forgiven or sinless or sanctified or justified or perfected in Christ Jesus, why? You see, Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, the power of God to save is as available today as it was to the Corinthians, as it was to the Ephesians. And if God could wash the people of Corinth, and God could wash Saul of Tarsus, and God could wash David and Samson, can he wash us? Absolutely. Why not let him wash you this morning? Why walk out of here with a shirt that says idolater, liar, thief, gossip, sexually active, whatever? Now then, the rest of us, what if you're struggling? Paul struggled in Romans 7. He admitted it wholeheartedly. John's just told us that there's no way that I can deny my sins. So we're all going to struggle at times. We're all going to have that temporary thing written on our chest. Let him wash you again through repentance. Let him wash you today and let him wash you tomorrow. You're going to struggle with something this next week. The good news is it doesn't have to be stamped on your shirt. Your shirt can say washed in the blood of the Lamb. And that'll be all God sees. And at that point, it really doesn't matter what the world's opinion is anyway. What does your shirt say as we stand and sing?